You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hello, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our weekly podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. Glad you're with us. Be here every week. Tell your friends about us. Well, my friends, we're talking this week during Passover, and what a Passover it is. Now, obviously, our audience is overwhelmingly Christian, but I know most of you know all about Passover, the biblical origins of what I believe is the oldest continuing celebration or holiday that exists in the world, which in itself is an amazing thing. But this year, a couple of things. First of all, this is the first Passover since the horrific massacre in Israel on October 7th. And that would make this Passover for Jews challenging enough. But it's also taking place during a time here in the United States where we're seeing a level of raw anti-Semitism really unprecedented. In all of our history, we've never seen anything quite like this, where open hatred of Jews is so boldly being proclaimed, and that so many people in positions of responsibility in government and the media are doing nothing about it. And the people engaging in this orgy of anti-Semitism isn't some group of, you know, backwater, uneducated, I don't know what else to say about them. These are, in many cases, the most highly educated or on their way, quote unquote, to being some of the most highly educated people in our society. If you go to one of the Ivy League schools, you're on your way to becoming a doctor, a lawyer, being in government, running a corporation, running big media empires. These are the schools people graduate from. Think about that when you're seeing these images on TV of those very students chanting death to the Jews, death to America, death to Israel, etc. So this week, I just started thinking about both my friends in Israel and also my Jewish friends here in America. And how do you process all of that during Passover, which is obviously a holiday that celebrates freedom? I mean, Passover is about God freeing the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt. One of the main themes of Passover is, next year, may we all be free. So I thought there would be no better person to talk to about all of this than my good friend and former editor of the Jerusalem Post, Tom Rose, who is also a foreign policy expert, worked in the Trump administration all 4 years. And as is often the case when we talk to him, we're talking to him today while he is in Israel. So, Tom, thank you for spending some time with us again at JDFI. I know our audience always listens very carefully what you as a believing Jew have to say about all the events that we read about. And, you know, I don't want to get overly philosophical, but Passover is a joyous holiday. At least that's how I've always understood it. So how do you process this Passover week? I don't know, you know, as an Orthodox Jew, if you walked on the campus of Columbia University, Harvard, Berkeley, and an increasing number of schools, you would be in physical danger today.
Well, first of all, Gary, God bless you, and God bless James Dobson and the Family Institute. Forget about your prayers, which are utterly invaluable, but your advocacy and your tireless support, you cannot imagine the strength that we derive from your faith, from your passion, from your commitment, and from your support. Passover, how do we deal with it? It's a good question. Well, and I have to remind myself of this all the time because I'm human, just like anyone else. we've had to deal with this for going on 4,000 years now. The Bible is rather explicit, the story of the Exodus. And in our joy and family togetherness that we experience during the Seder, which, as you pointed out, is the oldest continuing ritual known to man that has for 3,400 years never once been missed. The Bible's very explicit and very detailed about the exodus of the children of Israel. And remember the pillar of fire that protected the Jews as they crossed the Red Sea and into Sinai. Well, the rabbis point out, and the Bible's very explicit, the pillar of fire didn't disappear after the crossing of the Red Sea and the drowning of the Egyptians. The pillar of fire was there throughout the sojourn in the desert. Why was the pillar of fire there? Because our enemies were still after us. The Amalekites, the Bible calls the perpetual enemies, not simply of the children of Israel, but for all who subsequently came from the children of Israel. And of course, our greatest offspring is Christianity. And that's our greatest pride, frankly, as Jews, is that we could at least midwife the birth of the greatest force for good and decency and civilization and humanity in the history of the world. And that's the faith of Christians and Christianity throughout the ages. So it's tough. I got to tell you, it's tough. 130 hostages. God only knows what they're going through, Gary.
They're almost forgotten. And, you know, here in the United States, as you know, because you live in the United States, many of the hostages are Americans. There's barely a word anymore about any of them.
It's an utter... I don't even know what to say, Gary, because part of it might be, and I can't speak for what's going on back in the States, but part of it might be that, and it's a selfish thing to say, it's so horrible to even contemplate that we don't want to think about it. But the fact that the president of the United States, I realize I'm overseas at the moment, I won't allow myself to be restrained, that the president of the United States earlier this week equates the fight against anti-Semitism with the war against Hamas was absolutely dumbfounding to people here. Just jaws are agape. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to think. They don't know how to respond.
Yeah, it was a terrible moment. You're referring to a question that President Biden was asked earlier in the week, whether he condemns anti-Semitism. And he said, I do condemn anti-Semitism. And then he made this ludicrous statement. But I also want people to understand how the Palestinians are doing. Well, my goodness, these are two completely different things, as should be evident by President Biden, but unfortunately it wasn't. Tom, the Passover and the Exodus has had a deep influence on America through our whole history. It's been pointed out that the Exodus is the first time, well, the description of it in the Bible is the first time that a religious book clearly stated, up until that time, no other book had stated such, that slavery is evil. So the Exodus established that, which is why that during the period of American slavery of Black men and women, one of the things that inspired those American slaves was the story of the Exodus. One of the great hymns of all time is Let My People Go. They believe the title of it is Go Down Moses. Go down, Moses, let my people go. Way down in Egypt's land, tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. The founding fathers wanted to put Moses leading your people out of captivity on the national seal. So there's a deep connection here of the Jewish people to the founding of America and to the American people. And today, to see what we're seeing at Columbia, at Yale, it boggles my mind. But Tom, it's also, you know, you and I have talked about this a lot. There are these moments in history, right? The 1930s, so many good people did nothing, not just about anti-Semitism, but they didn't do anything about anything. they were just kind of lollygagging through life while these evils were making critical mass. And before it was all over, 60 million people died worldwide in an just unimaginable war. This really needs to be a wake-up call for all Jews and all Christians and all people of goodwill, right? That if we don't stand up, go into the public square and fight back, we're headed to an even worse disaster than the one we're experiencing right now.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I wish there was something I could disagree with in that prognosis. Unfortunately, I don't and I can't. I think the differences between what's happening here in Israel at the moment and what we see in the United States, particularly with an American Jewish community, obviously I'm Jewish, so I'm not engaging in untoward disparagement of my people, is I think American Jews today, and obviously I'm generalizing, Gary, are dumbfounded. This is, in a way, American Jews escaped the 20th century. You know what I mean? There were two horrendous world wars, 200,000 Jews killed in the pogroms after the First World War, followed by the Holocaust, followed by the establishment of the State of Israel, the ingathering of the exiles, five existential wars for survival. This all happened while American Jewry lived in the Garden of Eden. They lived in the United States, where they were judged on the basis of their character, not on the content of their DNA, not on their racial or ethnic background. And we, I don't know how to put it, I guess we got spoiled. I guess we thought that this American experiment, this almost magisterial experience of living in a way Jews have never lived in 4,000 years of complete freedom, of opportunity, of being judged individually rather than collectively. I think we thought that was normal. I think we thought that somehow that was the normal human experience, Jewish experience, and that was the beauty of America. And I still think it can be the beauty of America, but you're absolutely right, Gary Bauer, not if we don't fight for it.
You know, Tom, I hear a lot of people, I heard them again this morning, well-meaning people, and they're saying, obviously, we have a lot more education we need to do. People need to be taught. They're not being taught everything they need to be taught. Well, you know, I don't really think it's an education problem. I mean, these students are in some of the best schools in America. It's a moral problem. It was the universities in many cases in Germany in the 1930s where Jew hatred and Nazism sunk its roots the deepest. And, people often have seen these old newsreels of people in Germany burning books, right? It was a while before I figured out that the people burning books were students and professors who were burning books written by Jews that were in the libraries of the German universities in a continent that had Bach and Beethoven and Mozart and the great literature and art, etc. You could still see that evil rising up. It's always there. Tom, last night I saw a reporter. Now, admittedly, they were on a conservative outlet, but they said that they walked onto Columbia University yesterday, and he said, the thing that really disturbed me was as soon as I set foot on the campus, I felt a darkness descend on me that was like the weight of the world. That he said it was obvious that evil had taken control of this campus. And it was playing out in the way it often does, that God's chosen people end up bearing the brunt to begin with, and then it moves on to everybody else.
That's the critical point. You just nailed it. Jews are the world's miner's canary. We're never the last. We may be the first, but we're never, ever the last. Our friend Neil Ferguson, the great historian, I think probably the greatest, along maybe with Andrew Roberts, modern historians, has a fabulous piece out now called The Treachery of the Elite Class or something like that, talking about how German university, 100 years ago today, German universities were the finest in the world. They were the Harvards, the Yales, and they were taken over by students and faculty, by the way, and faculty, because faculty are the incubators. It's exactly the mirror image of what we're seeing on our university campuses today. The stifling of dissent, the promotions of hatred. If it happened there, it can happen here, meaning in America, and we're watching it happen before our eyes.
No question about it. Well, Tom, another big difference, I think, is that from now and in the 1930s is there are millions of Christians that, quite frankly, in many cases, you know, we know the names of Christians that hid Jews, you know, Corrie ten Boom and people like that. But we also know that the church in most of Europe was silent or worse. Some churches in Germany brought the crooked cross of Nazism right into the sanctuary, up on the stage, right next to the cross of Jesus Christ. And we look back on that and we're ashamed of that. So,
can I interject for one quick second?
Sure.
I'm not excusing that, but remember, that was the law. The law of German race and whatever it was called in 1935, the law banned the public display of the cross and its replacement with the Hakenkreuz, the swastika. So again, I'm not excusing that. I'm just, today it's happening without it being the law.
Right. No, great point. What I was ultimately getting at here, Tom, is that at a time like this, Christians and Jews, we have a disagreement over Messiah. What Jerry Falwell was once asked at a press conference I was with him on and with some Jewish representatives too, a smart aleck reporter said, how are Christians and Jews working together? And Falwell said, well, you know, we do have a disagreement over Messiah. And when he comes, we'll ask him if this is his first time or whether it's his second time, and whatever his answer is, somebody's going to have a major adjustment, attitude adjustment they'll have to make. But until then, we share the same core values. We believe in the same things about liberty. We worship the same God, and we're going to stick together against the forces of evil. And so I guess what I would like to leave people with in this podcast, this is no time to run for the hills. This is no time to cower. You and I were talking earlier, and you were a little disappointed, and I was too, when a rabbi at Columbia urged the Jewish students to go home because he said, you're not safe here anymore. Well, there are 4,700 Jewish students at Columbia among the 37,000 students they have. And going home, hiding under the bed for any of us, Christian or Jew, or any person of decency, of goodwill, that's not an option. If we do that, this evil wins. And this evil is everywhere. It's this issue and it's many other issues. Christians and Jews and all people of goodwill, we need to stand up. We need to be registered to vote. We need to confront this evil, because at the end of the day, evil, they're cowards. We have to confront them. And in addition to everything else, Tom, if we don't, America's gone. America is gone if we do not defeat this.
Amen. I don't know how better to put it than you just have.
Well, Tom, to you and all of my Jewish friends and to all Israelis, what is the proper Hebrew greeting for Passover?
Chag Kasher V'Sameach. May you have a blessed and kosher Passover, meaning not just the food, but everything to do with imbibing the notion of our deliverance from Egypt. One quick thing before we run. There is a concept in the observance of the Passover Seder that God didn't simply redeem the children of Israel at the moment we remember, but God redeems all of us at every moment. When we observe the rituals and laws of the Passover holiday, we too are being redeemed from serfdom into freedom.
Wow, Tom, that is beautiful. And it reminded me of a miracle that happened in just the last couple of weeks, which is the mullahs of Iran fired 300 missiles, ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, and drones, intending to kill tens of thousands of Israeli Jews. And of course, you all had the Iron Dome. You had another layer of defense. I love the name of it, David's Sling, right out of the Bible. And the experts said that those layers of defense, if everything really worked well, could conceivably take down 90% of those missiles and drones and so forth. Even that's a lot. 99.9% of those things fired by the mullahs of Iran did not make it to their target. So I think the real Iron Dome that the Israeli people, the Jewish people, and Christians still have is the mighty hand of our Lord.
And Ronald Reagan. Do not forget Ronald Reagan.
Who came up with those missile defense systems and was mercilessly mocked by people like then Senator Joe Biden.
Amen.
Anyway.
Amen. Well, God bless you.
You too. Well, folks, thank you for listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom here at JDFI. Please come back next week, and don't forget to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the safety and peace of our Jewish friends here and in Israel. God bless you all. We'll be back next week.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.